Good morning, everyone. Were you doing aerobics? Why were you standing? It's very nice to see you. How are you? Ah, God bless you. God bless you. And my heart is so happy to see you. And I really mean that. We have a full day today. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And we believe the Lord is with us. So let us try to get to it as quickly as we can without rushing God or the Spirit. I want to acknowledge those who are visiting with us for the first time. May I see your hands? First time guests. Blessings on you and you to my left, any to my right. First time guests. I don't see the hands in the balcony. God bless you. I see you. Thank you. And those of you who have not missed one night, may I see your hands? God bless you. Those of you who just missed one night, may I see your hands? You missed two nights, may I see your hands? Three nights, four nights, five nights. All right. Whatever your record of attendance is, thank you for showing God that His Word is important to you. And I tell you again, without any hesitation, that God will bless us today as we put our minds on holy things. Our subject for today, God is able. God is able. A-B-L-E. Not A-B-E-L. God is able. Let us pray. Father, thank you for being God. Thank you for sending Christ. Thank you, Father, for your love that seems endless. Thank you for your long-suffering, your patience, and the word that says you're not willing that any should perish. Father, I ask you now in the name of Jesus, please take full control of my mind, my tongue. Give me the words to speak, I pray, that will bring glory to your name and light to those who've come. Bless your sons and daughters, I pray, with a revelation of your glory, of your love, of your goodness, and your desire to save them, everyone. Hear this humble prayer. I offer it from my heart in Jesus' name. Amen. Our subject is God is able, Genesis chapter 12, reading from verse 1. This is, in my view, one of the most important passages in all of Scripture. Genesis 12, reading from verse 1. God is able. Come on in, those of you who are coming. God bless you. Genesis 12, we're reading from the King James Version. Reading from verse 1 of Genesis 12. The Bible says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." Now, examine the promise of God to Abraham in verse 2. "And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." Now, in order for Abraham to be a great nation, Abraham needed something, and I use the word something respectfully, of which he currently or presently had no hope, based on Genesis 11:30. Let's go there. Genesis 11:30. Even before we read the call of God to Abram, even before we become acquainted with what the call entailed and the promises therein, we are informed almost for dramatic tension by Moses in Genesis 11:30. But Sarai was what? Barren. She had no child. After we learn that Abraham's wife could not have children, Moses seems to be setting us up. Then he writes in chapter 12, verse 2, "And I will make of thee a great nation." It is interesting that in the line of God's holy people, the three important women, I say important because they were the wives of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Doesn't make the others unimportant, but they occupy a special place because God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's also the God of Noah, but the Bible identifies him as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Therefore, Sarah, Rebecca, and Rachel are important women. Each one of them could not have children. Each one was barren. Now, God is not a funny God, but God is able. Are you with me? And infertility has no effect upon the power of God. What do you say? So God, perhaps desiring and by design, to show the kind of power he has with no human contribution. Sarai, you're barren. Maybe God closed up their wombs. I don't know. Abraham, without Abraham knowing it, he marries a woman that can't have children. And then he hears God say, you will be the father of many nations. And God also tells him about Sarai, kings, nations shall be of her, in Genesis 17. Here comes Isaac, chapter 25, verse 20 and 21. Isaac prays to God for Rebekah, his wife, because she was barren. Here comes Jacob. He loves Rachel. He's tricked, and he's given another woman whom he does not really love that much. He has children with her, four. Then two by her handmaid, then two more by her, none by Rachel. Until God in mercy opens Rachel's womb. But I'm saying that fertility and reproductive problems do not constitute a problem for God, because God is limitlessly able. Now, so God said you'd be the father of many nations. I'll bless you, make your name great. Let's go look at more details of this promise. Genesis 13. As we continue, God is able. Genesis 13. We're reading from verse 14. This is after Lot has chosen the plains of Sodom, and he pitched his tent towards Sodom. And we have a description of how wicked the men of Sodom were. Verse 14. The Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to whom? Thy seed. God says, I will give you the land, and I'll give it to your seed. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, so shall thy seed be numbered. Verse 17, arise, says God, walk through the land, in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. I will give it to you. Walk through it. Let's go to chapter 15. And God is not a one-statement God. He loves to repeat his promises. No one can ever say God didn't say it. He says the same thing so many times. Repetition is a divine technique for teaching. Genesis 15, reading verse 7. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to do what? Give thee this land to what? Inherit it. Look at verse 18. In the same day the Lord made a what? With Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land. From the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. Here God repeats the promise to Abraham. Let's go to chapter 17. And our subject is God is able. And you must understand the ability of God when you confront problems, when there are challenges in your life, when we seem to come to obstacles like the Red Sea. God, the God we serve, is able. And the determination with which we believe that will enable us to face these challenges. Genesis 17, verse 8. And I will give unto thee, and to thy seed after thee, the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Here again, God repeats, I will give unto thee, and to thy seed after thee, the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. We learn, the land is promised to Abram. His promise to his seed, it will be theirs for an everlasting possession. Let's go back to chapter 12. There's one instant where God repeats it that we missed. Genesis 12, verse 7, Abram is now in Canaan land. He's crossed over. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I do what? Give this land, and there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. So God repeats and repeats and repeats. Let's go to chapter 26. Because he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We're talking about God is able. Genesis 26. Let's read from verse 2. There's a famine in verse 1. And Isaac starts moving south towards Egypt. And God appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt. Dwell in this land, in the land which I shall show thee. Verse 3. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee. For unto thee and to thy seed I will give what? All these countries, and I will perform the oath. What is an oath? It's a what? Or I use the word promise. But don't we make promises all the time, and we break them? When you go to court and you promise to tell the truth, is that a promise or an oath? That's an oath. A promise has a casual air about it. I promised to be here at 10, and I was late this morning. An oath has legal consequences. Are you following me? An oath is serious business. And God said, I will perform what? Look at verse 3. And I will perform what? The oath, which I did what? Swear unto Abraham thy father. I will perform it. I will do it. I took an oath, God said. Can you imagine that? An oath in a court of law is a guarantee, a truthful testimony. But the Bible says God can't lie. God doesn't need to make oaths. But God is concerned that you and I will believe and be convinced that he is serious about saving us. And so a God who needs no oath not only makes a promise, but backs it up by swearing. Now you tell me God doesn't care about you. I hate to say it, but God doesn't act contrary to character, but when you're a God that cannot lie, and you go that distance, it's a demonstration of the depth of his determination to save us and to convince us, I not only can save you, but I desperately desire to save you. That's why I am doing something I have never done. I, God, I am taking an oath. I will save you if you let me. And God said, I will perform the oath that I swear unto Abraham thy father. God admits, I swore. Of course, he swore by his own name. There's no one greater than God. And so, the promise is repeated to Isaac. He's the God of Abraham. He gives him the promise, repeats it. Now he gives it to Isaac. Let's go to Genesis chapter 28. Our subject is, God is able. Genesis 28, we have to understand, we serve a God who has no deficits, no weaknesses. Can you say amen? A God who is absolutely dependable and trustworthy. I propose to demonstrate that to you today by his grace and the leading of his Holy Spirit. Genesis, what did I say, 28? Verse 12, this is Jacob now. He has deceived his brother Esau and gotten the birthright by fraud. God would have found a noble, godly way to give it to him. We must learn not to run ahead of God. If God has promised you something, wait. Don't help him. Just be faithful. And the word was that God had chosen Jacob. He should have waited. Rebekah should have waited. They didn't. They deceived Isaac. The wife deceived him. The son deceived him. He said, is this Esau my firstborn? Jacob said, yes. Now that's not recorded as an example for us to follow. It's recorded to show us, among other reasons, that God's people have had problems. But they never gloried in their problems. They overcame their problems. Don't stay at the problem. Move on to the fact that they overcame through faith in God. And so in verse 12 of chapter 28 of the Bible says, and he slept. And behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending upon it. Verse 13. And behold, God, the Lord stood at the top of it and said, I am the Lord God of thy father Abraham, the God of Isaac, the land whereon thou liest. What did he finish that for me? To thee will I give it and... Ah, yes, the same thing he said to Abraham. He says to Isaac. He says to Jacob. And there is no variation. You know, sometimes when times change, we change our relationship to God. When we change cultures, we change our behavior. God's promise doesn't change regardless of culture. Regardless of sociological conditions. What he said to Abraham, he said to Isaac, and he said to Jacob. And he says to you. And to me. Now, let's go to Hebrews 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Subject is God is able. Hebrews 11. Reading from verse 8. What am I about to ask you? What am I about to ask you? All those of your Bibles, raise them, let me see. Blessings on you if you don't have one. Blessings on you too. And let that blessing be a reminder to bring your Bible next time. What book did I say? What chapter? What verse? By faith. How? How? Say it again. Say it again. It is all by faith. And faith is not a feeling. Faith is a movement along a path called God's Word. And you don't take one step to the right or to the left. Faith is identifying the path of God's Word and walking in it regardless of what you see to the side. A lion to the left, a bear to the right, a viper in front of you, an alligator behind you. You stay on that path. Faith. So the just shall live by faith. We walk by faith. By faith. Abraham, when he was called to go out into a land which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. How did he obey? By faith. The candidates, you are obeying by faith. That's the only obedience God accepts. By faith. Meaning, I trust what he says. Absolutely, I trust this. Did God say, yes, I do it. Faithful living. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a land which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. Now that's faith. You have stepped out not knowing whither you're going because you don't know how your friends will respond. But you're taking the step because God said so. You're not sure how your relatives may respond. You're going. You know not where you're going, but you're going in faith. And faith tells me if God sent me, he is with me. I don't have to see him with these. Because we live by, we walk by faith, not by sight. Verse 9. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise. As in a what? Strange country. First clue. It's the land of promise. But Abraham was moving from place to place. No fixed place of abode. No zip code for Abraham. Just moving. Dwelling in tabernacles. With whom? Isaac. Again, and who? Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. So what is said of Abram really applies to Isaac and Jacob. They move through the land as strangers in the land of promise. Has this earth been promised to the meek? Should the meek inherit the earth? But should we live now as strangers? Yes. Let me tell you yes before someone says no. Yes. We must live as pilgrim and strangers because the earth that the meek shall inherit is an earth that has no sin. So while this earth has been promised to the seed of Abraham, not in its present condition, so we are required like Abraham to live as strangers and pilgrims on this earth, meaning we're passing. Verse 10. For you look for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now, Abraham, living in tents. A tent is a portable thing. We've talked about that, I believe. A city has foundations, it doesn't move. Abraham's ultimate focus was not on life in a tabernacle. Life in a tabernacle is bearable if your eye is not on the tabernacle, but on the city which hath foundations. Now, what do I mean by that? If you fall overboard, middle of the ocean, and the ship doesn't know you've fallen overboard, the ship is gone, cruise liner, you went on a cruise somewhere. You're in the middle of the ocean, you've fallen overboard. You're swimming anywhere. You're tired. Then you see land. What happens to you? What happens to you? You are recharged. You see land. You stop swimming? Oh no, you start moving now. We are living in a tabernacle. It's a temporary life. We're pilgrims. So it may be at times a miserable life. Not spiritually, but physically, maybe materially. But our eyes are on the city which have foundations. And once our eyes are on that city, the life in the city appears to transmit some power to us. The power of the future comes to us now and allows us to survive this life. The only way for the Christian to survive this life is to get power now from the life to come. You didn't understand that. And it's my fault. Let me say it again. This is a powerful psychological principle, by the way. And the Bible has the best psychological principles in the world. Don't allow your present conditions to be your primary focus. Are you with me now? Be useful on the earth. Go to work. Respect people. Do what you have to do as a citizen. But your higher focus must be on what is coming for you. You're a freshman in college? Keep your eye on your senior year. And if you keep your eye on graduation, you will realize in order to make that graduation not just a thought, but a reality, I've got to study now. I've got to study now. So when you're tempted to play, you keep your mind on graduation, and playing is not advantageous to graduation. Look ahead. In other words, by faith, you go up into the future. Here's the new world. You see it by faith. Then you back up. Back to today. If your eye on what you've seen by faith, now you live. Your eye. Abraham lived in tabernacles, but he looked for a what? A city which hath what? Foundations. That's what held him as he moved from place to place. What holds you today? What is this, the steel spine that keeps you from bending? Is it your career? That can change. Job security is a thing of the past. The word of God, the oath of God, that he will allow the meek to inherit the earth, that God will not forsake you, that God will strengthen us, that should hold you. Verse 11 of Hebrews 11. The Bible says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. Because she did what? She judged him faithful who had. My brothers and my sisters, God has promised you everything. And few of you say amen. I say again, God in Christ hath promised us everything. Verse 12. And therefore sprang therefore of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable, meaning him as good as dead. What does that mean? Let's go to verse 17. Therefore sprang there of one, and him as good as dead. In other words, the people just barely came out of him. Almost didn't happen, the Bible seems to be saying. Verse 17 of Hebrews 11. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, did what? Offered up Isaac. What does the Bible say he did? He offered him. The Bible doesn't say by faith Abraham, when he was tried, attempted to offer Isaac. An act of faith is a literal act in the eyes of God. God accepted Abraham as having offered Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up, repeated, his only begotten son, of whom it was said, verse 18, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Read verse 19. Accounting that God was able to do what? Raise him up, go on, even from the dead.
from whence also he received him in a figure. Abraham believed that if I kill my son at God's request, which I intend to do, says Abraham, since God promised me seed, and for seed I need seed, and I'm about to kill the only seed I have, then since God is a God of his word, and since he had told me, chapter 21 of Genesis, that he didn't want Ishmael, it is Isaac he wants. Now he wants him dead. He must intend to raise him up. Listen to me. If necessary, God will wake you from the dead to keep his word. Ah, you didn't get it. One of the things I'll remember you for is you never get it. Nah, I won't do that. I won't do that. You always get it. It's my fault. Let me say it again. Have you ever made a promise to your children and couldn't keep it? Now, no, don't cry. These things happen. I will get you a tricycle for Christmas with lights on it and a horn. Then you lose your job in September. And no money for the tricycle. Is that your fault? Well, not really in human terms. Do you know that sort of thing cannot happen to God? You see, it can happen to God. When God makes a promise, nothing can happen that can keep God from fulfilling his promise, even death. So if God promises you something and then you die, and one of the angels says, Father, he's dead. And you didn't keep your promise. God, get up. Get up. Here's what I promised. And don't go back down. Stay alive. Now you think this is funny. No, no. We're about to take a look at that. Now, let's go to verse 13. What's our subject? God is able. God is able. These all died how? Listen to me, that's the only way to die. Don't die except you die in faith. It makes no sense to die in faith. See, there's a sensible way to die. Die in faith. The way to die in faith is to die in Christ. Death is not a problem. You know the Bible pronounces a blessing for people who die in Christ? Revelation 14, verse 13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die from henceforth, in the Lord, from henceforth. Now, it's a strange blessing to us. We want any other blessing but that one. But God says there's a blessing, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. All right. Verse 13 of Hebrews 11. These all died in faith. Read the rest with me. Not having received the promise. Now, let's go to Numbers 23, verse 19. Numbers 23, verse 19. Do we have that? The fourth book of the Bible. Numbers 23, verse 19. God is not a man that he should, neither the son of man that he should. Hath he said, and shall he not? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it? God cannot lie, neither can God find himself in circumstances that make it impossible for him to fulfill his word. You know, I take that text very seriously. If you look at it carefully, God is not a man that he should lie. Now, a lie is a deliberate intention to mislead. But when you promised a tricycle and lost your job, you couldn't come through. That's not a deliberate intention to mislead. But the simple fact is, the outcome is the same. You couldn't do it. You couldn't keep your word. And sometimes I wonder, and this is just me wondering now, this is not inspired, I'm just wondering. Sometimes I wonder if that is also a form of a lie. You said, but you didn't do, regardless of the reason. Are you following me? And God says, "Not, no, that doesn't happen to me. If I say it, I will do it." Your responsibility is find out if I said it. And if you discover that I said it, you bring it to me. And I will stand behind what I say. Can you say amen? That's why returning a tithe is not something to be afraid of. God says, I'll open the windows of heaven. I'll pour you out a blessing. God says, and the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father shall send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I've said unto you. Let me tell you something, students. The Holy Spirit will bring back to your mind what you've studied. You say, well, that's not what Jesus said. What do you mean that's not what Jesus said? All knowledge comes from whom? God, the Creator, who made it. Study and then say, Lord, please let your Holy Spirit bring back to my mind what I have studied. I need another amen that's louder. What I have studied. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. Yet Bible says God can't lie. Abraham is dead. He didn't get the land. Isaac is dead. He didn't get the land. Jacob is dead. He didn't get the land. Sarah is dead. She didn't get it. Rebecca is dead. She didn't get it. Rachel is dead. They didn't get it. These all died in faith, but God said, I'll give it to you. They're dead. They didn't get it. We've got a problem, but God is able. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them, how? Afar off. My brothers, my sisters, what do you see afar off? Now, you must see afar off what God sees afar off. You know what God sees afar off? A group of people victorious over sin, awaiting the return of the promised Savior. That's what God sees. Now, you must see that as well. You see, when God makes a promise, what's in the promise is what God sees. Are you following me? That's what He sees. Now, when you see what He sees, how can you go wrong? The policeman sees 55. When you see 65, that's when we have problems. Are you following me? But if he sees 55 and he has the gun, and you see 55, the gun stays where it is. And they saw them afar off. They saw what God saw for them and were persuaded of them, embraced them, and confessed. This was not a forced confession in the torture chamber. It came from their hearts. We are strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And a person who's just passing through, his greatest desire is to get to where he's going. My brothers, my sisters, I'm digressing briefly. Don't live on this earth in such a way that you don't feel a daily desire for Christ to come back. Because this world is not our home. And I say our, assuming we all belong to Christ. This, do not live in such a way that there is in your heart no desire for the return of Jesus Christ. If that's the condition I am in danger of turning around and seeing Christ in the clouds, and I am not ready. Coming upon me as a thief, and I'm in the church. If you have no desire for the return of Christ to get rid of sin, we've got a problem. And confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Verse 14. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. What things? Those who confess I am a stranger and a pilgrim, the Bible says, they declare plainly. It must be plain to those who know us that our minds are somewhere else. Come on, say amen, church. It's the last day for me to stop begging. You must have a clear and a plain testimony, and I must have it, that this world is not my primary focus. The Bible says, for they that say such things, I'm a stranger, a pilgrim, declare plainly. Don't confuse your neighbors as to who you are. Declare who you are plainly. I am a Seventh-day Adventist Christian. At work, don't confuse your colleagues. Declare plainly, I am a Bible-believing Seventh-day Adventist Christian. Declare it in your life plainly. They declare plainly that they seek a country. Verse 15. And truly, now listen to this verse, it's a powerful verse. If they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to what? Have returned. Now look at the verse again. The Bible says, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, Ur of the Chaldees, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Why is it so many Christians go back to sin? They are mindful of that country from whence they came out. And so they go back. Every time the Israelites had a problem in the wilderness, what did they want to do? Go back to Egypt. Because their minds were not on Canaan. Their minds were on the difficulties of the wilderness. And even though they were slaves, they remembered when we sat by the flesh pots of Egypt. And when we did eat bread to the full. Yes, we were slaves, but we were slaves with a full stomach, so no problem. And every time there was a challenge, they wanted to go back. That's one reason God told them, don't keep horses. Can't go back. Can't depend on yourself militarily. Keep moving towards Canaan. Keep your eye on the other side of the wilderness, Canaan. But these men, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Rebekah, Sarah, Rebekah, Rachel, the Bible says, having left, they were not mindful. Listen to me, if you've given your life to Christ, forget your past life. Try to forget it. Don't be mindful. Oh, man, I remember when I used to. No, forget that. You know, some people jump up and give testimonies of their former life. And I wonder, is this guy proud? Does he miss the drugs? The way he's talking? Try as much as possible to concentrate your mind on the life ahead of you. Not the country from whence you came. Because that country is trying to pull you back. Egypt is always calling. But God said, out of Egypt have I called my son. We are, in a certain sense, the son of God. If they had been mindful. Let your mind be on the study of God's word. Let your mind be on fellowship in the church. Let your mind be on how can I open the eyes of my colleagues at work and show them destruction is coming. They can get salvation ahead of time. Be mindful of the works of Christ. They might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they seek a better country. That is, a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. For he hath prepared for them a city. And that's where Abraham's mind was. But we still have a problem. In Hebrews 11 verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. And the Bible says God cannot lie. Then what is God to do? God has to bring about a remarkable event called the resurrection. The resurrection, among other things, will be the opportunity for God after thousands of years to keep his promise to Abraham. It may take God a while. It took him 20 years to open Rachel's womb. I don't mean he was unable to do it in 1 second, but he chose 20 years and Isaac prayed 20 years before God opened Rachel's womb, or Rebecca's womb. Abraham died about 2,000 years before Christ, some scholars say. 2,000 years after Christ, if God comes in the next 10 years, 4,000 years since Abraham died, and God is still determined to keep his word, and he will do it by a general resurrection of those who have died in Christ. Because what God has promised Abram, you see, he's also promised his seed. So you better be glad that God is determined to keep his promise to Abraham. Because what he does for Abraham, he has to do for you. And if God doesn't raise Abraham, you and I can forget it. If you be Christ's, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And part of the promise was this land will be yours for an everlasting possession. Genesis 17, verse 8. Everlasting. I tell you, God is able. God's word is important to him. He is coming back. He is coming back to get rid of sin from the world. But before he does that, he has to get rid of sin out of my heart. Will you allow me to say out of your heart as well? There are stages to what God does. Before God comes to cleanse this earth from sin and remake it, he first has to cleanse our hearts. You see, originally, here's the sequence God used. He made a perfect world first, then made perfect people. Of course, he didn't ask them, did you want to be perfect? He just made them. Gave them a choice. They chose contrary. But the original decision to make them was not theirs. It was his. Are you following me? I'm not charging God with being unfair. I am saying the decision to make Adam and Eve was not a decision from Adam and Eve. It was from God. So God put them in this world, but this time around, God makes perfect people first. And he asks them, do you want to live in a world without sin? If you say yes, okay. But I am not doing that the same way twice. I am not making a perfect world and coming for you. I will make you perfect first. Because the perfect world was not a problem. It was people. So God, in his limitless creativity, he comes up with a way. Let me switch. Not because I made a mistake, but a new world will be much prettier than the previous one. So God has a method now that seems far more guaranteed to keep things the way he wanted them kept eternally. I will perfect you first with your permission. When you have reached where I want you to reach, then I will put you in a world wherein dwelleth righteousness. Now, the capital of that world, the city, is already in heaven. Come on, say amen. You know, the astronauts have a city in heaven. They live there for how many months at a time? Space station up there. And flights go up, and we don't pay any attention because it's so common. They go up, take supplies, they come down, they make repairs. Folks get out, walk in space, fix this, do a little painting, a little drywall, do what they have to do, and they come back down. God has a city he's making, perhaps already done. It's in heaven. Now, if Jupiter can hang in heaven, Pluto used to be a planet, but it's still a planet in my heart. Pluto is still hanging in heaven. Huh? The sun hangs in heaven. Why can't a city hang in heaven? And God made it. And so God said in John chapter 14, verse 1, you know it, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I like that about God. If things change, he tells you. He just tells you. That's the way he is. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go, says Christ, to prepare a place for you. And if I go, not if I send someone, I can't guarantee the results of someone else. I can guarantee mine. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. It is all Christ. And that's a promise. Death, thank you, death cannot frustrate the promises of God because God is able. Let me show you how God conquered death. And then we finish. Let's go to Romans chapter 4. Romans 4. We see God conquering death. A mini resurrection, if you call it that. Bringing life from death. Romans 4. Reading from verse 19. This is Paul speaking of Abraham. Paul says, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. The word dead is used twice. We have double death. Who was dead? Abraham. Meaning, he could not produce children. His body, the Bible says, was dead as a child-bearing apparatus. Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, a dead loin and a dead womb. You show me some gynecologist can bring life out of that. Or some fertility expert bring life out of that kind. That's hopelessness. That's it. In the eyes of the world, that's it. Go adopt some children. Mm-mm. Consider not his body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God in unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God in the face of death. Abraham believed in life. Come on, say something. He believed in life. And being, verse 21, being what? Fully persuaded. Now let me ask you this, think. Here lies the problem. Many Christians have some faith in God. I'm not saying any one of us has all the faith a person can have. Here's what I'm saying we should do. If all the faith we have is this, we should exercise it to its limit. Are you with me? We don't do that. Even the little faith we think we have, we do not exercise it. Abraham did not have all the faith in the world, but the Bible records, and being, how persuaded? Fully persuaded. When a man is fully persuaded, there is no doubt. Jesus said, if you believe and doubt not, and say to this mountain, move, it'll move. Ah, my brothers and sisters, do you know what it means to come to the place where you believe God and there is no doubt? Doubt is kryptonite to Superman. The power can't work. Doubt is the kryptonite that will not allow God's power to work in us. So the Bible says, and being fully persuaded, be fully persuaded that this decision is right. It brings you tremendous psychological relief when your mind is fixed on something. Being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Therefore, it was imputed unto him for righteousness. That full persuasion, there is no doubt. No doubt. That's the way to live with Christ. Now, we know what happened. When Sarah was 90 years old, Genesis 21, verse 1, the Bible says, and the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age. Now go to Genesis 25. When God blesses you, God doesn't send drops of blessings. He sends tidal waves. Genesis 25, reading from verse 1, the Bible says, then again, Abraham took a wife, and her name was Keturah, and she bare him Zimran, and Jokshan, and Medan, and Midian, and Ishbak, and Shua. Now here's a man who no longer could have a child, not one. After God touches this man's body, he has seven. God didn't touch him just to have Isaac and took it back. God touched him, brought him back to life, and left him alive enough to have six more boys. We don't serve a stingy God. You know, I have a friend. I went to his house one day, a Sunday afternoon. He's a spiritual brother of mine. I'll never have big decisions to make, I call him, because I knew he'd talk to me honestly. And he was mowing his lawn. I was sitting on the step watching him. So we're talking about God is not stingy. God doesn't just, you know, nickel and dime us. So he's mowing the lawn, and he's trying to gauge where his neighbor's lawn starts. So he doesn't mow 1 inch of the neighbor's lawn. I said, David, come on, you're a Christian. He dropped the lawnmower and started to laugh. But it was an example of the way we are. We want to make sure, okay, the tithe, all right, $1 out of 10. Not a one-tenth of a nickel more. $1 out of 10, that's it. Okay, God, I'm being obedient. You said a dollar, here's a dollar. Don't complain. Now we said the offering, okay. Let's see, groceries, light bill, here, child support. Okay. Here's a dime. That's how we deal with God. Not the way God deals with us. If we need 5 blessings, God gives us 500. Serve a good God. He is able, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Which means, every time God blesses us, he blesses us beyond.
Now God has a life for you in a new world.
He's able to keep you now in order that you might make it to that new world.
Are you following me?
God is able to keep you and me now because we must live in such a way that we understand there is no circumstance that can get in the way of Christ and the Father fulfilling the promises to us. If it is written, God cannot back out. Did you hear me? If that's why, the only question we must ask is it written? Not do most people do it. Is it written? If it's written, God says, respectfully, I'm speaking, you got me. You got me. I'm God, but I can't get away. Because God will not lie. God will not disappoint his word. He says, my word shall not, meaning it cannot return unto him void.
God is able to save you. And God is able to keep you. First sermon I preach in this series, whatever God creates, he sustains. By the same power that created it. Because he wants to sustain it at the same level at which it was created. No drop in level, no drop in quality.
If it took omnipotent power to create, it takes omnipotent power to sustain, because the quality must not drop. The glory of God has one quality, and the heavens declare the glory of God. Then the power that brought it into existence must be the same power that sustains it. Adam was just a caretaker, not a sustainer. Adam can't sustain the laws of nature. That's God. Listen to me. God has created you spiritually. He will sustain you by the same power that saves you. He's going to raise Abraham to keep his promise. So Abraham is resting. He died confidently. He died in Christ. And the power with which God will raise Abraham, he uses that power now to sustain us. Why do I say that? In Ephesians 1, reading from verse 19, Paul is trying to tell the Ephesian church members some things they should know about God. One of the things is the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, verse 18, that you might know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. The power that raised Christ from the dead is the power that will raise Abraham. It is the power that sustains us now. Resurrection power is how we live. Now, how can you stay weak? How can I stay weak? This. That power is right here. Did you hear me? It is right here. It was this word that said, let there be light. It wasn't written, it was spoken, same word. And I want you, my brothers and sisters, to examine your hearts today. Do I live by faith in God's word? God said, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness concerning his promise, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that what? Any should perish. Do you have a lost family member? You go on your knees. Lord, you said you're not willing that any should perish. Do whatever you need to do to save my child, save my husband, save my uncle. Now leave it up to God. Because to save that person, God may have to put them in hospital. He may have to break the leg. He may have to kill them. Because salvation is so important. Death is a small price to pay in order to be saved. Are you listening to me? God has to kill some people in order to save them. Because if he left them alive, they'd go back to Egypt. Trust this. Is your life fully surrendered to Christ? Do you live your life with the consciousness that God is able to sustain you if you choose to serve Him? Don't give God 90% of your life and you control 10%. Don't do that. Give God 100%, because God does not do well with competition. Give Him your entire life. I'm pleading from my heart. Give to a God who cannot lie, a God who can reverse death. He can reverse death, I said. Put your life in the hands of that God. We have some candidates who have made decisions to be baptized. In that symbol this afternoon at 2 o'clock, you will see death, resurrection, symbolized. Is there someone listening to me? Listen to me carefully. You have never fully given your life to Christ. Notice my words. You have never fully given your life to Christ, but you have thought about it. And you like to do that. You have partially surrendered to Christ. You want to fully surrender because you've never done that. I keep saying the word never, because this is not for all of you. And you like to say today, Lord, having heard what I heard, as your Spirit speaks to my heart, and I have thought of doing this, I'm doing it now, I fully surrender my life into your hands. Is there anyone like that? Fully. No reservations. Anyone like that? I want you to raise your right hand. Anyone like that? You have never fully. 100%. And as I wait for you to respond, I might assume that everyone listening to me in the presence of God has fully, 100% given the life to Christ. Is that what you're telling me? Blessings on you. God bless you. Fully. 100%. I'm not joking. 100%. Anyone else? I have to look in the balcony this way. I see a hand. God bless you. See your hand. I won't call you down. I'll just ask you to stand where you are. Let me pray for you. You raise your hand. Stand. Let me pray for you. Stand up there. Stand here. That's another hand back there. Just stand. Let me pray. Anyone else? God bless you. Don't stand because it's fashionable. You're standing to say, Lord, my honest evaluation is I really have never fully put my life in your hands. I'm doing that now because I don't have a receipt for long life. I could be gone tonight. In the hands of a God who can reverse death. Put it in His hands if you've never done that. Anyone else before I pray? Well, I'll pray it and I'll make another call. God bless you. This is no time to be cool. 100% into the hands of a God who knows how to defeat death. Anyone else? I see you in the balcony. God bless you. I see you standing. Anyone else? God bless you. I don't want all of you standing. This is a specific call. 100%. Believing that God is able to help you with anything you're struggling with now. Anything. If He is in control, 100%. It's usually that 10% we reserve that causes problems. Anyone else? I'll pray and I'll make another call. God bless you. God bless you. It's very serious business. 100%. Hold back nothing. Take a bungee jump without any rope attached to your ankle and God will catch you. God bless you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Blessings on you. And I have to keep saying that. 100%. Are you clear in your heart? You have given yourself to Christ 100%. Anyone else? God bless you. And 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 anyone else who's moving in the balcony in response to the call, I'll take 1 minute and I'll pray. 100%. Don't be smart with God. He knows the heart.
100%. Bless you. Blessings on you and you. And you, my brother, and you, my brother. And you, my dear brother. 100%. Just put it all in his hands. 30 seconds to go. Bless you. God bless you. God be with you. Every head bowed, God be with you. My brother, I see you. Every eye closed. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come to you as your servant, your son, and reconsecrate my life to you. All of it, all that's left, for one purpose only, that is to preach the gospel of the living God, and to serve you according to your word and to the limit of my faith that you have given to me. Father, help me to trust you, to grow in grace and in faith, and to trust you more and more. Bless my brothers and sisters who have stood. Father, anchor this decision in heaven. They're giving themselves to you 100%, with nothing reserved for the devil. Accept this commitment, dear God, please, and bless them. Bless them quickly to show them of divine approval for this decision. Bless not only them, but through their lives, bless their family members, their friends, those in their orbit, bless as well. Hear this humble prayer, dear God, and give me the words for the next call. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. The next call is brief. Remain reverent and quiet. Is there someone else who knows in his or her heart, I need to make a decision to go under the waters of baptism? And for 3 weeks, you have held out. Or you've been convicted for the first time today. And you want to say, Lord, I'm deciding to be baptized, whether it's today or in some future date, at some future date. If you want to make that decision now and make God happy, raise your right hand. You've not done it and you need to do it. Raise that hand. I'm not talking to those who've already decided. You've not yet decided, make that decision. Raise your right hand. God bless you. God bless you. God bless my sister. Anyone else? Raise that right hand. Make a decision. And I keep doing this to get the lights on my face so I can see the balcony. Please forgive me for it. Raise your right hand. Lord, I am deciding to be baptized. It doesn't have to be today. You can be prepared for future baptism. Make the decision now. Just raise any hand you want. You have drifted from God, left Him, gone out into the world, but kept taking His name in vain. You need to come back through the waters of baptism. Not if you made a mistake, if you left Him, went back to the world, you need to come back, make that decision. To come back as you originally were through the waters of baptism. Through rebaptism, you raise your right hand, raise any hand you want. God bless you. I need one of my assistants or my colleagues to get two cards for me. One for my brother over here. One for my dear sister to my right. You may lower your hand. God bless you. My dear sister to my left, we need three cards, please, as the Spirit of God moves. We need three cards. God bless you. My brothers, please be patient. I'll be finished in under 5 minutes. Is anyone in the balcony, please? You may have to wave your hand. I can't see very clearly. Who has raised a hand to say, I need to be baptized, rebaptized, come back to God. I need to make this decision. Not because I am asking, because the Spirit of God will give you no rest. A card to my sister to the left, a card to my brother, a card to my sister to the right. And then I pray. Then we have the vows for the baptismal candidates. Then we take off a Dresden gym and we rejoice as we see people go down and come up symbolizing the resurrection power of God to bring a dead person to life. Someone else? A decision to be baptized. I've left God. I know I left Him. In my heart I left Him. Went back to the world. Come back like the prodigal son. God will receive you 100% and not hold it against you.
you make that decision as well. Anyone else? Those who raise their hands, just stand where you are. Let me pray for you. My sister here, my brother here, my sister here, I believe it might have been someone else. Stay just where you are. I won't call you. I want to offer a special prayer for you just before I pray. Anyone else will make that decision. Raise any hand and let God and let us see. I want to be baptized, haven't been baptized, or I need to come back because I left. And Father, I want to be serious now and stay with you. And I need to come back through the waters. Raise your hand. And you alone know if you've left God. I don't. Let me pray for you, then I make a final call. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, I present my sister to the right, my sister and brother to the left. And if anyone else is standing whom I can't see because of the lights, I present them to you as trophies of the grace of Christ. I present them to you as those whom you love so much, you would have sent your son to die just for them if they alone have sinned. I present them, Lord, that all heaven may rejoice over their decision to obey God and to follow Christ. In the name of Jesus, dear God, bless them. Even before they go under the water, give them a portion of the Spirit to sustain them in this decision. And then grant them more of that Spirit as they come out of the water of baptism. Bless not only them, but bless their families as well, and use them to lead others to Christ. I offer this prayer from my heart in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. My final call, that's a promise. God is able. Abraham was dead. Sarah was dead. Reproductively, God brought an explosion of life in the form of Isaac from Abram and Sarah. When Sarah died, God kept that explosion of life in Abraham. He had six more sons. God is able to save you. He's able to give you victory. My call is this. Because you want to serve God. Because you desire to get close to God. But there's something in your life that's a spiritual barrier. This one thing you can't get over. You jump, you can't get over it. You try to get over that obstacle, that spiritual barrier, that weakness, that thing that offends God. And that's one thing. And in your heart, you've wanted to get over that thing. You've learned today there's a God with power. But you must be His 100%. And there's something you want to get over. And if one thing I know from going all over the world preaching in all churches, the finest Christians are struggling with something. And you will say, Lord, if you don't say it in your heart, don't get up. You say, Father, in the privacy of my heart, I honestly confess, you know I have a struggle with this. If you have all that power, as you say, help me as I place that weakness at your feet. Anyone who will say that, exercising all the faith you have and saying, Lord, help thou my unbelief. If that applies to you, stand up. Got to get over that one thing. And it has bothered us. It has probably made you cry. I have to break through in this one area of my life. God is able. Church is not a social habit. Serving God, attending church is a life-saving activity. It's connection between heaven and earth, and the power flows down as the trust and dependence flows up. Tell God in your heart, I want victory over that thing. I love money too much. I'm very materialistic, and that will destroy Christianity in a hurry or our spirituality. I can't get off the internet hours and hours and hours. And I'm just addicted to secular music. And I gamble in private and no one knows. I go to casinos, no one knows, because I can do it on the internet. No one knows. And this thing is getting into my system and I need to get it out before I'm lost. Whatever it is, put it at the feet of God with your determination. Father, I want victory over this thing. That one thing can destroy us. When the rich young ruler came to Christ, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Christ said unto him, "Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not honor thy father and thy mother." He said, "All these have I done from my youth up." Jesus said, "Yet lackest thou how many things?" One. Jesus said, "You just need to do one thing." He told another guy, "You're not far from the kingdom. My brothers, my sisters, that one thing, the one thing you lack may need may be, get that thing out of your life." Please, I speak to you and I speak to me. Get that thing out of the life by the resurrection power of Christ. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord, I'm a sinner praying for sinners. And it's not easy. But I come to you, Father, to ask you to help me. Grant me victory in every area of my life, because I have my challenges. But Father, you know that I have given to you the rest of my life for one task only, and that is to preach the gospel until I drop dead. Father, to do it effectively, I must be wholly thine. And so I recommit my life to you and ask you, Lord, to give me victory in every area of my life, day by day, hour by hour, moment by moment. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, who paid the price with his life, go to every heart. Give victory over every weakness, every temptation, every entrenched habit that is harmful to salvation. Give them victory, dear God. It cannot please you to see us struggling this way. It's not your fault. I admit that, Father. But help us. We have stood to say we want to get rid of these things. Please, for Christ's sake, give us the power and help us to give you a willing heart, that with your power and our willingness, victory may be ours at last. And then we may be able to encourage and comfort someone else who's in a struggle. Prepare us, I pray, that we may be fit inhabitants for a land wherein dwelleth righteousness. Hear this humble prayer. I offer it from my heart with the support of my brothers and sisters in Jesus' name. And for his sake, let all God's people say, amen and amen. God bless you. Please be seated while I examine the candidates. Will the candidates please stand? I hope you can stay by. It'll take maybe 5-10 minutes. And we want it as reverent as possible. But if you have to take off, please do so. My glasses are somewhere on there. Could you bring them for me? Will the candidates please stand? This is what we do here in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, just to make a public examination. I will read some vows, what you intend to do, all based on Scripture. And then the candidates will say, "I do," or "I will," or raise the right hand. Or I can read all of them at one time, and then you just answer with one response. Yes, my good brother. Those who did. Those who come. My good sister. Where's my sister in the... Is it blue or... Yes, Stan, join us. Join us here. My other... Yes, join us here. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. You may not be baptized today, but still join us. Can you say God is good? And all the time? Yes, he is. And that's no joke. He is. I hate glasses, but there won't be any glasses in heaven. Am I right? All right. Okay. In the presence of heaven and earth, I believe there's one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, the unity of three co-eternal persons. If you believe that, raise your right hand. All right. What I'll do, I'll say all of them, and then you just raise your hand at the end of all. I accept the death of Jesus Christ on Calvary as the atoning sacrifice for my sins, and believe that through faith in his shed blood, I am saved from sin and its penalty. Number 3, I renounce the world and its sinful ways. and I've accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, believing that God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven my sins and given me a new heart. Number four, I accept by faith the righteousness of Christ, my intercessor in the heavenly sanctuary, and accept His promise of transforming grace and power to live a loving, Christ-centered life in my home and before the world. Number five, I believe that the Bible is God's inspired word, the only rule of faith and practice for the Christian. I covenant, let me repeat that, I covenant to spend time regularly in prayer and Bible study. Number six, I accept the Ten Commandments as a transcript of the character of God and a revelation of His will. It is my purpose, by the power of the indwelling Christ, to keep this law, including the fourth commandment, which requires the observance of the seventh day of the week as the Sabbath of the Lord and the memorial of creation. Can you say amen? Amen. Number seven, I look forward to the soon coming of Jesus and the blessed hope when this mortal shall put on immortality. And as I prepare to meet the Lord, I will witness to His loving salvation, and by life and world help others to be ready for His glorious appearing. Number eight, I accept the biblical teaching of spiritual gifts, and we all have them, and believe that the gift of prophecy is one of the identifying marks of the remnant church. Number nine, I believe in church organization. It is my purpose to support the church by my tithes and my offerings and my personal effort and my influence. Number 10, I believe that my body is a temple of the Holy Spirit and will honor God by caring for it, avoiding the use of that which is harmful, abstaining from all unclean foods, from the use of or manufacture or sale of alcoholic beverages, the use, manufacture, or sale of tobacco in any of its forms for human consumption, and from the misuse of or trafficking in narcotics or other drugs. Number 11, I know and understand the fundamental Bible principles as taught by the Seventh-day Adventist Church. I propose, by the grace of God, to fulfill His will by ordering my life in harmony with these principles. 12, I accept the New Testament teaching of baptism by immersion and desire to be baptized as a public expression of faith in Christ and His forgiveness of my sins. Number 13, I accept and believe that the Seventh-day Adventist Church is the remnant church of Bible prophecy. Can you say amen? And that people of every nation, race, and language are invited and accepted into its fellowship. I desire to be a member of the local church, of the world church. If this is your promise, would you raise your right hand to the 13 of these? God bless you. We went through them already this morning. Church, what do you say? Say it again. Say it again. God is good. God is good. And all the time, God is good. God bless you. Let's stand for a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you for what you've done. And we still have one more presentation to go. In the name of Jesus, we commit ourselves into your hands. We ask you to receive us, guide us, bless the ceremony. Let it inspire others, continue to convict hearts, I pray. Thank you for your goodness. Save us when you come. In Jesus' name and for His sake, let us all say, amen, amen. I want to do one more symbolic thing. Now, they will be accepted into individual churches, but as a symbolic expression of our acceptance is their motion that we accept them into membership. Is there a second? Any opposed? All those in favor say, praise God. Yeah. Praise God. Yeah. Praise the Lord. God bless you. We'll see you at the pool. God bless you. God bless you. Drive carefully. We're heading to Drayson Gym on the campus of Loma Linda University. Mm-hmm.